2 days before the race, in the asphalt lot at Chester's Harley-Davidson of Mesa, Arizona, where the temperature measured 108 degrees, Big Jim asked to inspect my driver's license. Refusal was an option, but not a good one. To get my media credentials, I needed to win his favor. Hoisting the card in his ample palm, he made note of my home address, aloud. Then he said, "Good, because if you tell any lies about me, I'm gonna come to your house and mess you up." I slid the license back into my billfold and sized the man up. In 2 decades as a newspaper reporter, I had come across some tough customers, enough to tell bluster from menace. Big Jim, a.k.a. Jim Redcloud, a.k.a. James G. Durham, scanned as an even split. At 56, he stood about 6'5", 260 pounds, with a ruddy complexion and dark, spiky hair. He was wearing size 14 flip-flops, camouflage print shorts, hoop earrings, a sweaty yellow bandana, and Ray-Ban sunglasses tinted red. He was smoking Marlboros. Not lights, reds, from a hard pack. His smile and his scowl alternated without intermission. Big Jim is a white man, but he presents himself as a tireless advocate for the Oglala Sioux, a Lakota faction based on the Pine Ridge Reservation in North Dakota. His admirers say he can prophesy death, diagnose asymptomatic disease, and ascertain a man's position on the path toward enlightenment. His detractors call him a bully, a charlatan, and worse. He had come to the desert to stage the boldest undertaking of his life, the Hokahei Motorcycle Challenge, a 13,860-mile race through the lost highways and party towns and Indian reservations of the lower 48 states in pursuit of hundreds of thousands of dollars in prize money. I had come to the desert to watch, in a professional sort of way, on assignment for a national news magazine. My journalistic partner, the famous war photographer, was booked on the next red-eye into Sky Harbor. Sprawling in ambition, grandiose in scale, and haphazard in execution, the Hokahei promised to harness the mythology of the open road for a test of wills meant to publicize the plight of the Lakota. Money was not to be the true reward. By becoming a Hokahei challenger, the promotional materials proclaimed, your name will be immortalized. After relinquishing my license, Big Jim suggested sharing a meal as a prerequisite to a formal interview. This was his way. In the brief time of our acquaintance, he was forever offering to share things, his cigarettes, a hunk of chocolate chip muffin, always in ceremonial fashion. I said okay to the dinner plan, and he laughed, a guffawing sort of laugh that managed to ring both nervous and dismissive at the same time. Admirers and detractors alike draw credence from his laugh. It sounds like, whoa, ha, 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 ha. Ours is a nation of highways, 160,000 miles by the count of the United States Department of Transportation. They are connectors, yes, often likened to blood vessels sustaining the far-flung organs of an increasingly urbanized society, but driving them is fast becoming one of the last disconnected things you can do. In the canyons, in the Badlands, in the Appalachians, the signal fades. You get no bars. You can't check in. You can't become the electronic mayor of nowhere. This has come to pass for hardship. Roll over, Jack Kerouac. Peter Fonda, shut your eyes. In the 3 decades since Brock Yates led the Cannonball Baker Sea to Shining Sea Memorial Trophy Dash in celebration of a devil-may-care strain of American freedom, various promoters of road racing have introduced corporate sponsorships, reality television, and the self-flagellating ethos of endurance sport. The open road itself, undiminished as a symbol of possibility, now spans a chastened and increasingly desperate land. In my own travels, I have seen some unlikely elaborations on the timeless appeal of the basic speed contest. I've seen turbine powerboats make laps at 200 miles an hour in 6-foot seas off Key West. I've seen cyclists cross the snow-laden and buckling crust of the Little Susitna River north of Anchorage. I've seen men strap electronic heart monitors to their chests in preparation for the qualifying rounds of a 260-mile canoe odyssey said to prompt hallucinations in which airborne gunmen strafe the Guadalupe River.